It's Thursday, March 12th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Yesterday, the government released the latest inflation report. The Consumer Price Index rose 2.4% over the past year. That matched expectations, and if you saw the headline, you might have thought, inflation is stable, things are fine. But every economist who looked at the data said some version of the same thing. One called it the calm before the storm. Another said, these numbers are a relic of the past. Because the February CPI was collected before oil spiked to $120 a barrel, before gas prices jumped 57 cents a gallon, before diesel and shipping costs surged, and before fertilizer prices started climbing. The number you saw yesterday is a photograph of February. The movie that's playing right now looks very different. Today, we're going to explain what CPI actually measures, why this specific report is misleading, and how to read inflation data like someone who understands what the number is actually telling you. Most people hear CPI and think inflation number. That's roughly correct, but it misses something important about how the number works. The Consumer Price Index measures the average change in prices paid by urban consumers for a basket of goods and services. The Bureau of Labor Statistics sends people out to collect prices on everything from ground beef to gasoline to rent to haircuts, then calculates how much that basket costs compared to last month and last year. The result is what you see in the headline. Prices rose 2.4% over the past 12 months. The thing to understand is that CPI is backward-looking by design. The February report reflects prices collected in February. It can't tell you what's happening in March. And right now, that lag matters more than usual. The U.S.-Israel strikes on Iran began on February 28th, the last day of the collection period. Almost none of the economic fallout from the war, the oil spike, the shipping disruptions, the fertilizer price increases shows up in this data. It's like getting a health checkup the day before you break your leg. The results look great, but they don't reflect your current condition. So what does the February data actually show? Headline inflation held steady at 2.4% year over year. Core inflation, which strips out food and energy, because those categories are volatile and can distort the underlying trend, came in at 2.5%. Both matched forecasts. The distinction between headline and core matters because it's how the Fed thinks about inflation. If oil spikes temporarily, but core prices stay stable, the Fed is more likely to look through it. If core starts climbing too, that's when they get worried. Right now, core is sticky at 2.5, which is still above the Fed's 2% target. That's not crisis territory, but it's not comfortable either. Rent posted its smallest monthly increase since January 2021, rising just 0.1%, which is genuinely encouraging because shelter has been the single largest driver of inflation for the past 2 years. Food prices rose 0.4% for the month and 3.1% over the year. And eggs, which became one of the most visible symbols of the inflation crisis, fell 3.8% in February, putting the annual decline at 42%. After 2 years of avian flu outbreaks that killed millions of laying hens and drove prices to absurd levels, the flocks are finally rebuilding and supply is catching up to demand. Eggs are a useful reminder that not all price spikes are permanent. Some are supply shocks that reverse when the underlying cause resolves. The question with oil is whether this shock resolves quickly or becomes the new normal. But underneath the stable headline, there are warning signs that predated the oil shock. Ground beef prices are up about 15% from a year ago because the U.S. cattle supply is at its lowest in decades. Coffee is up roughly 18% due to extreme weather in Vietnam and Brazil that crimped supply. Tariffs are pushing up apparel prices. Medical care costs are climbing. And services inflation outside of housing remains, in the words of one strategist, hot. Even before oil entered the picture, inflation wasn't really decelerating. It was stuck. Now add the oil shock. Gas prices have already jumped about 57 cents per gallon since late February, a 19% increase in 2 weeks. As of Monday, the national average hit $3.50, the highest since 2024. And as we discussed on Tuesday, the cascade doesn't stop at the pump. Diesel powers the trucks. Jet fuel powers the airlines. Natural gas powers the fertilizer plants. Each of those costs flows forward into grocery prices, airfares, and the cost of everything that gets shipped. Economists at CNBC modeled two scenarios. If the conflict is short and oil comes back down quickly, the damage is manageable. But if the war drags on and energy infrastructure takes even minor damage, U.S. oil prices could average around $100 a barrel for the rest of the year. In that case, CPI inflation could climb to 3.5% by year-end, up from the current 2.4%. Gas prices could approach $5 a gallon in the second quarter. Airline fare inflation could spike from 2% to around 20% because of jet fuel costs, and agricultural prices would be most at risk because of the fertilizer connection. The American Farm Bureau Federation wrote directly to the president warning that disruptions to fertilizer supply could threaten U.S. crop production. The Fed meets next week and is almost certain to hold rates steady. Traders are pricing in roughly zero chance of a cut. The next rate reduction isn't expected until September at the earliest, and even that depends on how the oil situation unfolds. This matters for anyone with a mortgage, a car loan, or credit card debt. The relief that lower rates would bring is being pushed further into the future by the same energy shock that's making everything else more expensive. As we talked about on Tuesday, it's a squeeze from both sides. There's also a technical wrinkle in this data that most coverage skipped. Last fall's 43-day government shutdown disrupted the BLS data collection process. The agency wasn't able to gather prices during parts of October and November 2025 and had to use a carry-forward methodology to fill the gaps. Economists say this is likely creating a slight downward bias in the inflation data from December through April. In other words, the 2.4% number might actually be slightly understating inflation even before the oil shock is factored in. The practical takeaway is this. When you see an inflation number, ask two questions. First, what time period is it measuring? CPI tells you where prices were, not where they are. Second, is the headline number driven by one volatile category or by broad-based increases? A spike in egg prices can move the headline number without meaning much for the economy. A broad rise across food, shelter, medical care, and transportation is a different story. The February report is useful as a baseline, a snapshot of the economy before the oil shock, but it's not a forecast. The next few CPI reports, March through May, will tell the real story. And based on what's already happened to energy prices, those numbers are going to look different. If inflation does climb back toward 3.5% as some economists project, it will feel worse than the number suggests because it's hitting categories that affect daily life most directly. Gas, food, and airfare. These are the prices people see every day, not the ones buried in a spreadsheet. A former Cleveland Fed president said it well yesterday. High gas prices are salient for people's inflation perceptions. You don't need to check the CPI report to know that filling your tank costs more than it did 2 weeks ago. But understanding why the official number doesn't reflect that yet is the difference between reading the headline and understanding the story. 2.4%, that's the number. It matched expectations, the market barely reacted, and most people moved on. But the data was collected before oil hit $120, before gas jumped 57 cents, and before the fertilizer contracts for this year's planting season were written at elevated prices. The inflation you're about to feel hasn't shown up in the data yet. It will. And when the March and April numbers come in higher, remember, the storm didn't start then. It started in late February. The CPI just hasn't caught up. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.